one of those things, a couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in that.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
The pumps make the yams more yammier.
The whats make the whats more whattier.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Good morning. Welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it as always. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? I'm all good, brother, man, on this Tuesday here in the A, and got a lot of stuff to get to. And as far as, you know, the Hawks, was not surprised they blew the lead. I don't know who else was, but I know I damn sure wasn't surprised that they blew that lead last night because it started coming.
It's also what they've done.
And it's what they do.
They are the worst fourth quarter team in the NBA.
And that's what they
do. Showed up again last night.
And yeah, obviously there's still a lot of stuff going on around the black cloud. I still believe that somebody outside of Nate and them got out. It got out, and obviously you could tell by both reaction, love that Nate came back and was like, hey, man, flat out lie. I didn't say that. That didn't happen. Now, if it did happen, stick to the story and keep it moving and everything. And obviously that's something that you keep monitoring. I ain't finna beat a dead horse with. Them two butt heads a lot, period.
Yeah.
Call it what it is.
And that can be okay.
Yes, that could be okay. But it's not okay when you're not winning.
Yeah, if you're not winning, and, you know, it also can be not okay. Like, if it gets to a certain point where it's just – counterproductive to what the team's goals are, then it can be not okay. And we also understand what that means. We said it yesterday. If a superstar and a head coach get into an argument that is unresolvable in the NBA these days, well, it gets resolved with the head coach being relieved of his duties. And I'm hopeful that that's not what happens.
Right.
I hope that they can find a common ground, which is trying to win basketball games. And yesterday was just not the day for the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, it wasn't, man.
I'm not surprised that they blew the fourth quarter lead either. It was frustrating. They played pretty well for the first, I guess, 2.5 quarters of that game. Trey was a little unusual.
He was
last
shook.
Night.
I won't say he was shook. He just wasn't on.
Yeah, I don't know what it was either. Like I don't want to. Shook is like you know, that has sort of connotations to it. Like he was like afraid or something. But he played weird. Like Trey had a very weird game last night, and I feel like it probably had something to do with what's gone on over the last couple of days. And obviously, the most important thing that happened last night, and something that we're still thinking about, and obviously sending our thoughts and prayers to Bob Rathbun, because that was terrifying what happened on television last night, if folks had a chance to see it. They kept him in the hospital overnight last night. They're saying it was dehydration. Obviously, we're all hoping that he is fine and a quick recovery and all that stuff, because you don't see something like that very often. That was very scary yesterday.
It was, man. And so, me and Samson were sitting there watching it. It was on one of the TVs, and he's like, Daddy, look. Because I was doing something else, and I looked, and I just see this, man, and to watch Dominique, like, sitting there like, it was hopefully he's fine from what you hear. He's going to be okay and everything like that. But, that was a scary situation. But, this it's going to be something that's going to be over this team for a while until they start playing up to the potential that I think that they have. And, you're without two of your starters and all those different things. But they still won the game yesterday.
Yeah, the Thunder are terrible.
They're not that – now, Shea.
Shea's good. Yeah,
it's a bad boy.
Shea's good.
It's a bad boy.
I don't know. Lou Dort's okay, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You should be able to beat those guys.
I would think so.
You know?
I would think so. But
not a good performance last night by the Atlanta Hawks, especially late in that basketball game. And, again, I don't – maybe it was all of the things that went into it. I don't really think it was. I think they're just not very good at closing games right now, and I don't know why. They just look like a different team in the fourth quarter than they do in the first three quarters of the game. And, it doesn't make sense to me because they do look really good in the first three quarters of games.
Yeah.
Just throwing theories. They look like they're in bad shape.
Yeah.
Like, they can't possibly be in bad shape, but the way that they play in the fourth quarter, it appears that they just stand around.
Yeah.
Like, they stop doing it. They're doing beautiful ball movement and motion and pick and rolls and getting guys involved and running up and down the court, playing a little defense the first three quarters of the game. The fourth quarter comes around, everyone just stands there.
Yep.
Are they tired?
No.
Like, you guys need to run some more suicides?
I don't know what we're doing here. I don't know what it is, but they got to figure it out, man.
That's the only thing I could come up with.
I know there could be a lot of guesses and all that stuff, but no, they got to figure this out pretty fast, because they're past the 20-game mark and everything like that. It ain't no more or less Deontay Murray and Trey trying to get comfortable with each other. No, it's something else. Don't know what it is, but they got to get better. And it's not, and this whole thing with Nate and Trey didn't help the situation anymore.
Mm-mm.
You know,
it is always interesting to me when stuff like this happens and like, okay.
DeJounte.
Yeah. When there's an issue between teammates or a coach and a player or something like that in the locker room, and it's such a good rallying point for the team to not focus on that.
Yeah.
Like, that's the issue. The issue is that Trey and Nate have a bad relationship. That's right. The issue. But they can rally around the issue being that it got out. That's always funny to me.
Yeah.
Like, the issue isn't that the star player and the coach don't like each other. The issue is that someone told us that the star player and the coach don't like each other.
Correct.
That's always funny to me. But it's like, I think you're focusing on the wrong thing.
Like, something that you probably didn't know already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I think you maybe should focus on the thing. Like, again, okay, I understand you're mad that we know about it. But I don't think that's the problem.
No.
I think the problem is that
the play
it's
on the court.
Existing, and you guys got to, like grown men, get together and figure it out. And again, hopefully they do. That's what they said yesterday. And played pretty bad last night, but you know they've played bad in the fourth quarter a number of times. Anyway, we'll let you hear some Hawks highlights as the game or as the show goes on. Tough loss last night, 121-114. They're up 15 in the second half. They end up losing by 7.
Yep.
Got some fun news yesterday too, though. The Heisman finalists were announced. I feel like we had a pretty good grasp on who some of these guys were going to be. Certainly Caleb Williams was going to be a finalist. Felt like C.J. Stroud was probably going to be a finalist. I love that Max Duggan gets to be a finalist.
Yeah.
The season that he had, you know, a lot of people probably didn't watch Max Duggan play until the Big 12 championship game. If that was your first chance to see him play.
That's a really good year.
Yeah, pretty good example of who he is.
Yeah.
The toughness that he plays with and the leader that he is and all that stuff. So I love that he's going to be there as well. I don't think very many people thought Stetson Bennett was going to be in New York. I certainly didn't.
When
but the
I
fact that he
that,
is awesome.
And when I saw that, I was so excited. That was because it's so cool, man. Just, you know, you're talking about a guy last year that didn't get no reps in summer camp, you know, and all those different things, and comes in and just does what he does, man. And, I mean, I think that Hendon Hooker was a qualified candidate.
Yeah, I think
also.
It's a shame that he doesn't get to go to
It's a damn shame, but I'm not going to sit
it's
up there.
It's a shame.
Because he should be there.
He should be.
But I ain't damn apologizing for Stetson being there.
Yeah, I guess because what I didn't realize was this is the first year where it's just four.
Yeah.
Before it was however many people got enough votes,
yeah.
They would take them.
Right.
It was five, right. Whatever. Like, there was no limit to how many people could go. Then they would sort of cut it off when there was a big gap in terms of votes. So I figured five would go, and
right.
I thought Hendon Hooker would be the
yes.
fifth. I didn't know it was only 4-4 this year is the way that it is, and that's the way it broke down. But it is a shame
yes.
because of the way that the season was going for him
right.
and for them, and then
right.
it all fell apart at the end. He gets hurt, and, I mean, you know, still a good season, but – you know, kind of
yeah.
nothing now to show for it
yeah.
other than, okay, that was a really good season.
Yeah, yeah. I just hated it for him and everything. But I'm so excited for Stetson, man. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, the movie ending, but it's still not over yet. You know, he still has stuff to do.
A couple more episodes.
Still got a long road to do that. And it's going to be a long, hard road to get another championship. It just ain't going to fall in your lap just because you're the best team in America. You still got to go out there and play like the best team in America. But, yeah, when I saw that news, man, it was just one of those. I was so excited for him, for Georgia, and mainly just that underdog story that, you know, everybody knows this man's journey. And, you know, Roddy, I got Roddy, he brought it up. He went from walk-on to scout team to JUCO to backup to emergency duty. Remember the Arkansas game we had to come in and save the damn day. Starter, he gets hurt, backup, starter. I mean, everything that you can just look at somebody who, when you draw a perfect Division I quarterback, is he's not that. His journey is not that. But yet, all of this is happening for him. And it's just an amazing accomplishment for him.
You know how you know someone has really kind of made it as a college football player, especially college quarterback, in the modern era of college football with the way that everyone hates and tries to detract from everyone, is when you go from everyone saying you can't do it
right.
to them moving the goalposts to, yeah, you're doing it, but you're 24.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, okay,
that
you're 20.
That now.
Like, yeah, yeah. Exactly. It went from everyone being like, oh, he's too short.
Yep.
I don't have enough stars. Oh, I can't do it. Look at him in this situation. Here he is. I mean, there were people that wanted to bench him at the halftime of the national championship game last year. You know what I mean?
Right.
And now they're unimpressed by it because he's 25 years old.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's how you know you've officially made it in this era of sports. When they move the goalposts on you that many times
yeah.
and you still continue to be a part of the conversation and still continue to get accolades. Yeah, they moved the goalposts on Stetson a lot of times over the last couple of years.
Does he win it?
And he continue to what?
Does he win the Heisman?
I mean, I'm not going to say no.
I think that's where I'm at. Yeah. I'm not going to say no.
Because I've said so many things about Stetson Bennett that have turned out to be wrong.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm just going to learn my lesson and stop saying no.
I'm just
happy. Used to call him Bless Your Heart.
Yes.
On this show.
Yes.
Because of all of that stuff.
Yes.
From a couple of years ago. Like, never in a million years. I remember vividly saying, I think when they put JT Daniels in the game, finally, at the end of that season a couple years ago, was, well, we'll never have to see Stetson Bennett again.
Yep. Because you didn't. Because
boy, was I wrong.
Because you didn't think. Because you're looking at it from a JT Daniels standpoint. What if he doesn't get hurt? What if he doesn't hurt himself?
It's one of the great what ifs.
You know what I mean? What if he doesn't get hurt?
One of the great what ifs in college football history.
Because you knew something was wrong with him in that Clemson game. Uh-huh. You were like, JT's something wrong with him.
Yep.
And what if, I mean, all these different things, what if he doesn't get hurt?
Then none of this happens Stetson Bennett.
Unbelievable, man. Just an unbelievable journey for this young man. And I just hope it just continues, man, because it's been a fun ride watching him. Because as much as we like to say, no, two damn Stetson moments per game, that little graph I saw against him in big games, mm-hmm. The dude is pretty freaking awesome.
He's been the best big game quarterback in the country the last couple of years.
Yes. In the game.
Big Game Bennett.
Yep.
And the movie's not over yet, man. There's a couple more episodes. It's pretty wild. Pretty wild, the Stetson Bennett story continues. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into what's trending, including Arthur Smith describing my golf game.
All of a sudden, the guy's trying to, you know, three-putt everything, and it's like, all right.
Yeah, man, I'm not happy about it, but sometimes it's what happens. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Lines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Is your heating and cooling system aging? Reliable's got you covered for just $29.99 a month. No deductibles or service fees, just coverage. Call to find out more.
You see in practice, you feel pretty good about skill set development. And then all of a sudden you get in the game and all of a sudden the guy's trying to, you know, three-putt everything. And it's like, all right, you know, where was that aggression that we saw in practice? And well, because there's real consequences here. That happens a lot. But until we see him play, but we feel good about him, that'd be the next test.
That's Arthur Smith yesterday talking more about Desmond Ridder and, you know, the process of potentially getting him into an actual NFL football game. The conversation has picked up over the last couple of days. I think we understand why the conversation has picked up. The conversation has changed regarding Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder over the last couple of days, and I think that's probably because we're going to see Desmond Ridder start for the Falcons next time they're out there against the Saints. Not this weekend, but next weekend. We'll see. I don't know that for sure. I know they're going to probably tell us officially next Monday after they go through their week of evaluation and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, this is different. This sounds different than the way that they've been talking about it all season up to this point. And, you know, I mean, from a big picture standpoint, I don't want to sit here and say that's good, because what would have been really good is Marcus Mariota played awesome and the Falcons were really good this year and they were genuinely making a run at the playoffs, not just mathematically making a run at the playoffs. But now, at least you're going to get a handful of games potentially to see what the young guys got. So, again, it's not the ideal scenario. The ideal scenario is it would have worked out with the guy that was the starter. It didn't. It probably was never going to, but it didn't. Now, it looks like we got a month to see what Desmond Ridder's got.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to what you were talking about with Arthur, we talked about it yesterday, the tone has changed.
Mm-hmm.
It has. And because before it was always, it's all of us. It's not just Marcus, it's the office. We got to do better. But now you're at a point where everything's being evaluated. And I don't think everything would have been evaluated if the bye week was in week four. You know what I mean? You're at that point of the season where, okay, let's see what the hell this kid got. And now they're at that point. I do anticipate him.
Let me ask you something about that before you go on.
Because you had enough time. The mini bye after Thursday. Yes.
But how you've done it, like you've been through obviously seasons, but also seasons where quarterback changes have been made.
Right.
Like, how hard is it to do that in season?
It's not hard because I've never had to do it with a rookie.
Okay.
Now, I'll take that back. We had to do it with a damn rookie. We had to do it with a damn, I don't even know who the hell. I still forgot the kid's name. He threw me a touchdown pass at Tennessee.
We looked him up.
It's only one and only.
He threw one touchdown ever, and it was to you.
Yeah, and I gave him the ball. But
now he's an insurance agent, in Nashville.
But I mean, that's what I'm saying. He was a undrafted rookie and all those different things. Like, people knew not to expect anything from him. He wasn't going to be the Rams future. People are expecting this as Desmond Ridder as maybe the potential quarterback for the future for this team. So it's a lot different. And it's one of those things where how much you need to evaluate. Go back to what something that the Green Bay GM asked about Jordan Love. And he said, well, we've seen enough already if he doesn't play this year to determine if we're going to pick up his fifth-year option or whatever, whatever. They ain't seen that with Desmond Ridder. At least we haven't seen the people who have not been up to Flowery Ranch to watch how he practices, how he interacts with the team. I ain't going by nothing off preseason, whatever. You want to base preseason on if a guy is good or not. I'll show you a lot of bums that are not in the NFL no more.
Well, isn't Ragone, right? Yeah. Isn't Ragone the Falcons' offensive coordinator, is the all-time preseason yardage leader?
Yeah, I'll show you a lot of bums that ain't playing no more.
Do a lot of passes in the regular season. All right,
so that won't happen. But, I mean, it's time to see what he does. You know, and I think it's something that it's already – if it has happened, he's already told them that it's going to happen.
Right, they know.
They know. And because he doesn't have to say anything till next week, and he don't even have to say nothing then.
He doesn't.
You know, but I'm.
Here's the thing, though.
But he's always come out and said it don't make no sense to trick people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why I think his tone has changed here and why his tone was the same before. Like, I know we sort of treat these coaches, because some of these coaches do try to withhold and be sneaky and whatever, or maybe just want to play games with the media. Arthur Smith has been pretty clear the whole time. Yeah. Like, look, when I'm going to do something, I'm going to tell you about it. Like, you know, when it's next Monday and we've made the decision that we're going to go with for our starter against the Saints and we're doing that week of media, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. And he's been very consistent on that. Like, he hasn't done a lot of deception or anything, because I don't know what it would really gain anyway. Like, I don't know that the Saints are, like, shaking in their boots, having to prepare for either one of those two guys. And the Saints have their own problems, obviously, the way last game last night ended.
Oh, my goodness.
It was a Tom Brady comeback for the ages.
You knew Tom Brady was going to come back.
Of course
I went to
did.
Bed.
I wanted to watch it.
I was like, I'm going to bed, man. Tom's going to come back and win this damn game.
I wanted to watch it just because it guaranteed that we got to see Desmond Ridder next week.
Oh, yeah. But I was like, hey,
thank you, Tom Brady.
Let me watch this game real quick and watch Tom come back and win this damn game, man.
Scored two touchdowns in 3 minutes.
What a catch by damn Hooley. Oh, my God. Right. That was a grab. Mm-hmm. Yeah, dog. But.
Yeah, Godwin had a nice catch.
Yeah, he did. But
and then Rashad White, man, you get Rashad White gets some action. He makes plays. He's a good player.
He's a good player, man. But yeah, Tom looked like crap. I was like, okay, he looks like crap. I'm going to bed. They will come back and win this game.
It was really funny watching Peyton and Eli Manning on the Manning Cast watch him look like crap.
Yeah,
and like, you know, they have so much respect for that guy. They won't really talk about it like that.
Right.
They're just like, here's what Tom was trying to do on that play. You know what I mean? Like, trying to bail him out.
I didn't even think it was on. I didn't even know it was on last night.
Randy Moss was on it.
I saw all the highlights this morning. I didn't even know.
Yeah, it was pretty good. All that to say, the Falcons are in a bye week.
Yeah.
So they can assess all the changes that they need to make. Wouldn't be surprised at all if Desmond Ridder is a starter next time around when they take on the Saints. Not this weekend, but next weekend. All right, let's hear from Stetson Bennett. Who's going to be he's a Heisman finalist. He'll be in New York in a couple weeks.
Being a walk-on humbles you, but it also allows me to know you without knowing you, right? Every other award, I don't know every other award, but most other awards, I would say, you know, you can look at it and you can imagine that they are a good football player. This one, you can look at it and imagine the person that they are, and you can be right.
The one thing I like about Stetson is all the fame hasn't changed him. Still a slow talker, even though he won the Burlesworth Award last night, which means the best player in college football this year that started out as a walk-on.
Yeah, man.
That's got to be one of the most.
It's just a great story, man.
Any award is cool to win, but that's got to be such a gratifying award to win, having started and having had the career that he's had.
We saw this. Like, that's why I call Rudy a fraud, because we didn't see this. We saw this young man, all right? We went back all the way back to when they went to the first college football playoff. He was doing Baker Mayfield, and then they
that's
go,
how long he's been around. Baker Mayfield just got cut by his second team.
Yes,
Stetson's still in college.
Then he goes and goes to JUCO so he can play.
Yeah,
and then they asked him to come back as a preferred walk on, fourth on the depth chart. JT Daniels going back in the transfer portal. Just came out. Yeah, he's going back in the transfer portal. And so you're trying to figure this whole thing out.
Bring him back.
Hell no. We don't need JT. We don't need JT and his thin stash.
Oh, man, he's got a bad mustache.
Yeah, we don't need him in a thin stash.
It's bad all around
hair. He got a bad face.
Bad hair. Yeah, it's got a bad face.
He's got a bad face.
It's true, and I'll be honest with you, I don't like a quarterback with a bad face.
Me neither.
I need at least a decent face.
I need a guy who, like if they don't know you're a quarterback, they'll still whistle.
Exactly.
Yeah, something
exactly
like that.
Right.
Yeah, but no, they are got – I mean,
thank you. I'm glad we agree on that.
Yeah, but he is – it's just a great story, man. It really is. And it's a story that's not done yet. And I think that's what I love about it, because then you look at it, what else can go like
well, really only one thing.
Only one thing. Now you got a big hurdle to get to that one thing, But yet, you still have the opportunity to go up to New York City and be honored by one of the most exclusive, prestigious clubs in the world.
To even be invited is one of the most
big deal.
Prestigious honors in the history of college football.
And then,
almost no one has ever been a Heisman finalist.
Yes. And it's a big deal.
Yeah.
It is, man.
It is.
And I'll say it again. Sorry, I wish Hendon Hooker, he deserves to be there.
He does.
But I ain't apologize for Stetson because he's not.
No, of course not. There's no apology to be given. But
some people think so.
Okay. Yeah. Bummer. That's probably not going to happen. Aaron Murray tweeted out over the weekend, Stetson officially the greatest quarterback in Georgia history.
Yes.
I feel like Aaron Murray's pretty qualified to say that. We're going to chat with him at some point this week on the show. Aaron Murray, you're on board with that?
Oh, yeah, I like talking to Aaron.
No. I mean, as Stetson Bennett, as the considered to be the greatest quarterback in the history of the program.
I have no problem with that. I have no problem with
that. How cool is that?
Because I know who Chuck Reese's guy is, you know, and he talks about him all the time. But,
I think he's on the air right now.
Yeah,
he's off now.
That's Chuck Reese's guy. But, I would have no problem with saying that. Now, most talented, no. But best?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, most talented, no. But, man, what a thing. It just continues. And he'll be in New York for the Heisman ceremony. And then, of course, Ohio State. And then, hopefully, either Michigan or TCU after that. All right, let's hear Nate McMillan. This is before the game. This is Nate McMillan before the game yesterday with kind of the really big story from the world of the Hawks. They also lost the game. We'll hear him afterwards. But here he is talking about communicating with players and what he would and would not tell them.
The one thing that I do want to respond, there was a something said about me telling Trey to not show up for a game. I will never, ever, and have never, ever told a player not to show up for a game. Okay? That's just false.
There you go. He sets the record straight on that one. That's about also as angry as you're ever going to hear Nate McMillan get with the media.
If he feels like somebody lied on him?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
Set the record
straight. No doubt about it.
Can you, just sort of taking a step back and thinking about who Nate McMillan is, set aside how you feel about him as a coach, because I know some people, whatever, but like, this is a dude who's been coaching in the NBA for a long time, played in the NBA for a long time, played in a really good era of the NBA.
He's an NBA lifer.
Won a lot of basketball.
He's an NBA lifer.
Really good player.
Yeah.
Tough player. Can you imagine, like, behind closed doors, how annoying he finds this whole thing?
Yes.
Like, I've got to do what?
Yes.
I've got to go have what conversation
why?
With what player?
Yes.
Why don't he just be a professional? Like, why do I have to go do this?
Yes. Because it's a new era.
It's a new day.
And that's just the way it is, man.
It's
a new day where snitching is rewarded. And what I mean by that, a story comes out from snitching because, to me, it don't seem like – I damn sure know Nate didn't – whoever leaked this thing out.
Nate didn't tell that story. Trey didn't tell that story.
Trey Pops didn't do it.
Nope.
I don't think anybody on the actual team did it. But it's probably somebody around. Probably someone of the video guys. Because
– I don't know.
I will tell
There's
you
There's been a handful of stories come out of that locker room the last couple of years. Somebody's telling.
Being in locker rooms as long as I had, and anything that ever got out, which rarely got out because we didn't allow stuff to get out, it always came from somebody that actually wasn't playing or somebody was in the locker room, an equipment guy, or somebody like it was always one of them that would let that story. And because how I know, because I would ask afterwards and find out, oh, that's who.
Ask the reporter?
Oh, you were snitching.
And they would tell you?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to reveal your sources.
Yeah, they tell you.
That's because they want you to be a source.
Exactly,
later.
Homie. Mm-hmm. Exactly, homie. But yeah, this is something that, you know, as long as they're playing bad, this is going to be a thing. See, that's why they can't win because Nate and Trey don't get along. I think it's a fair assessment. Trey and Nate ain't got along for a long time. But I do think they do have respect for each other as player coach.
I hope so. We're going to find out.
I do.
That's what we're about to find out.
I do.
Is you don't have to like your boss. You don't have to like your coach. You don't like, but there has to be a professional respect.
Yes.
And you got to go out there and play. I still don't really understand what happened on Friday.
And Zach was going at his neck, though. Like I said.
Oh, yeah. You know
what I mean? Because that's my only question about this whole thing. Because I don't care what they got into. I really don't because it happens. Why weren't you at the game? That's all I want to know.
Yeah, I thought Zach Klein did a great job at that press conference. He wasn't asking anything inappropriate.
It's his tone.
The tone?
Yeah, take your tone down, bro.
Yeah.
Take your tone down, bro.
Take
your tone down. That's because you bring your tone up like that, then you'll get the defensive guy.
I think Trey was going to be defensive on that
conversation.
So.
I don't think so. I think that Trey was like, the tone of defensiveness is completely, not telling you something is one thing. Being defensive is another thing. And Trey got defensive.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. Anyway, we don't know why he wasn't there Friday. He was there last night.
That's my only thing.
They lost last night. Bogey played pretty good. That was kind of cool to see.
I didn't know Bogey's back.
Bogey's back.
I was like, oh, that's Bogey.
I know. There's so much other stuff going on in the world of the Atlanta Hawks.
How about that?
Yeah, Bogey's back. They lost anyway. They got to figure out their fourth quarter situation, man. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to get to Brian Gebhardt's segment. We've flip-flopped Bo and Brian's segment because Brian demanded it. The arrogance of Brian Gebhardt is back with us here on the Midday Show in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here. Tuesday morning, 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. Spent a little bit of time on the Monday night game last night. Boy, was that...
Boring as hell.
Not a good football game until like the last 5 minutes were kind of fun. Yeah. Like they went down the field and scored 3 minutes. Last 3 minutes.
Keanu Neal is one of them players you don't want to play on this team.
What is
Keanu Neal? He's one of them safeties that knock your ass out. It was a great play he made last night when he. But don't take your teammate out. Like he closes his eyes when he hits people. I've had teammates that do that. They close their eyes when they're about to make a big collision and end up taking your ass out too. Dude. Open your damn eyes.
Yeah. How are you going to see what you hit if you don't have your eyes open?
Open your damn eyes.
And you might hit your own teammate and knock him out of the game, which is ultimately what happened. Yeah. You don't want to do that.
Open your damn eyes up, man.
All right. We'll get to an NFL no huddle, like we said. We'll also spend some time on a college football corner coming up at 12:20. Yesterday, I loved the conversation that we had in the college football corner. We spent the entire segment talking about Deion Sanders and all of the layers of the story. We're going to talk about what actually happened over the weekend a little bit and the college football playoff teams as well.
Yeah, that whole the Deion thing is just it's still baffling to me about being upset about a man, you know, getting a better job because it is a better job. I understand hurtness and didn't want to see him leave. I get that. But some of the other stuff that you hear coming out, it's like you can't elevate yourself to a better job because it's a better job, but better resources and more money. And if somebody says money ain't everything, then your ass ain't got none.
So I hadn't actually heard the Colorado athletic director. You guys had referenced it a couple times yesterday, actually. Yes. I heard it yesterday. Yeah. That's pretty wild
That's
thing to
funny
say.
As hell.
It's funny.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, and they will. They'll come up with
the money. Yeah, they'll come up with
the money. We also know where some of the money's coming from. Colorado, you know.
They come in. They're going to have some of that chief money.
Yeah.
They
got some tax money coming in that state.
Some of that chiefing money.
Which is fine. You know, it's legal, and they tax it, and he's a public employee, and, you know, spread the wealth around. There's nothing wrong with
that. But, I mean, now you see his staff's coming together, and, you know, he's going to get a head coach to come be his offensive coordinator at Kent State, who was a very good offensive mind.
Yeah, had a nice year.
Sorry, talking about something. You get Willie Taggart not to be a head coach, you got a good.
What's he having Willie Taggart do?
Willie would probably be the quarterback coach.
Okay, great.
Yeah, Willie probably be quarterback coach, but I mean he's putting together staff and everything, and obviously he's Deion, so the transfer portal is going to be his best friend, and he's going to get some dudes in there.
Yeah,
you know, they won't be 1-11 this year. Next year,
they will not be 1-11 next year. They will not have the worst roster in all the Power Five next year.
Yeah,
Washington had them 33-0 at halftime.
Yes.
It felt like the Friday Night Lights episode where Coach Taylor just told them, you know what, we're not going back out there for the second half. That's what Colorado should have done in that football game. By the way, just a PSA. Or not even a PSA, just a request. I know they're not going to listen to me, but just a request on my behalf as someone who doesn't want to read 5 paragraphs on a graphic on social media.
Yes.
Could you just tell me if you're transferring or if you're staying?
Yes.
That's all. Or I guess you don't even have to release a statement if you're staying.
Dude.
We'll just assume you're staying. Just tell me if you're transferring or tell me if you're going to the NFL draft. I don't need the novel that all these guys are writing.
600 of them jokers, man.
Just yesterday.
Just yesterday.
There's going to be more today.
What are you missing? You know what? This is their thing, and I want you to be happy. I do.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Damn, homie.
More than half of them are going to end up not happy.
Just sitting there. Do some research before you go. I mean, how many of those kids, I know we got to get to Brian, how many of those, the percentage of those young men that decided to do what they did yesterday have a place to go already?
I don't know the answer to that question. I can tell you the percentage of the kids that have gone to the transfer portal and not come out of it, 60. Like, 60% of transfer portal entrants remain in the transfer
And you can't
portal.
Come back to my school.
Oh, no.
No, you can't come back.
Yeah, no. You left.
No, you can't come back.
We weren't good enough for you.
Yeah.
You had to write a novel on social media. You had to get out of here.
That's crazy.
We weren't good enough.
It's crazy.
No, I'm with you. All right, let's get to Brian here.
And now, 92.9 The Game presents Big Deal, Small Deal, or No Deal with Brian Gebhardt. On Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Brought to you by Salomon Brothers. Find the perfect gift for any occasion at Salomon Brothers Jewelers in Buckhead or Alpharetta. Online at SolomonBrothers.com or on Instagram at Salomon Brothers. Also, be sure to check out Two Dudes Same Fantasy Facebook Live Waiver Wire show today at 3:30 with Brian and Bo. Hey, Brian.
Stetson Bennett is a Heisman finalist.
Yes.
I can't believe that actually happened. I know we've been talking about it a little bit. Would he, could he, should he, all that sort of a thing. I haven't been this excited about something for an athlete like that in a while. As far as from an individual standpoint, obviously, like Georgia winning the championship and the Braves winning the World Series. But how big of a deal is this? This is the first time in 30 years since Garrison Hurst that even had a finalist in New York from Georgia.
Who won it that year when Doobie was there?
92? I don't know off the top.
Was it Toretta that year? It might have been.
I think it was.
But no, this is such a big deal, man. So excited for Stetson and his story and his journey. Obviously, he's excited for the University of Georgia. For him to be in New York City at one of the most prestigious clubs ever created.
Yeah.
It's just a big damn deal. It really is, man. I remember when people have fun with the hashtag Stetson for Heisman, I thought it was just a fun thing, but it's a real thing. Stetson is up for the damn Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
Will he win? Probably not.
Probably not, but I don't know.
I don't know.
I've said that about Stetson Bennett 50 times. And like, the way that the voting goes, maybe. These guys didn't vote until, some of them voted before the games, which is stupid. Wait till you see the games. But some of them probably only watched the championship games. Like, there was people that were handing the trophy to Caleb Williams midway through the first quarter and then taking it from him midway through the fourth quarter when USC played on Friday.
Did this fool have his fingernails painted saying F Utah?
It's not the first time.
He does it every week.
It's not the first time.
Are you serious?
He does it every week.
Every week.
That's his thing.
That's one of his things, yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yep. I thought it was really weird, too, but then went back, and it's just like he's been doing it forever sort of thing. Okay. So not.
It doesn't make it good, though.
It doesn't,
it
but
doesn't
I don't.
It doesn't make it good.
It doesn't bother me at all.
Because I used to do that.
You do what?
Like, I would do, you know how they have the breathe right things?
Yeah.
Well, I would wear one.
Uh-huh.
But then I would put a message on there, and I would put FU on there. But I wouldn't say FU specifically to anybody.
Right. Just in general?
Yeah, just in general.
Your general FU attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. This is one of those weird old guy things. I just kind of dumb.
I don't
think there's anything to be gained by it.
I don't mind it at all because I don't think it's distracting in any way. I think it's one of those things that people want to just pick and
No, I don't think it's distracting. You know? It's also something he's done all season and people now just know about it because they don't watch Pac-12 football games until the championship.
Right.
But I just don't get it. I don't understand what the point is.
It's interesting you bring up the voting, though, with Stetson, right? I mean, Caleb Williams would still get my first place vote. We have way too many people that vote on the Heisman in the first place, but there's no one else in the Southeast that's in this finalist list. So for all the people that cover the SEC and the ACC and everything, I mean, you have Dugan, but that's more Southwest, and then you have Midwest and West. So a lot of times these are regional votes, and a lot of people don't watch the games. They like Stetson Bennett. They think I could see him finishing second.
I would love to see.
I could see him finishing second.
I want to see him win the damn thing. The trophy bigger than he is.
Man,
that would be so great.
He should also just show up with the bottle of Pappy since he is 25 years old and just hang out up there. That'd be so great. He's going to be older than the last handful of winners, too, which is funny.
Very true.
So, exactly. Big deal, small deal, no deal. We haven't gotten to this yet. Wasn't great news right after the show. Trey Turner, 11 years, $300 million.
Great news for him.
11 years, $300 million with the Phillies.
It's just the 11-year part. I mean, it's a big deal you go get Trey Turner. Sure. It's just the 11. He's already in his 30s, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, he's a hell of a player, dog. He is a hell of a player. And, you know, he was a top free agent, I think, by most people's standards on the market, followed by Carrera. And he looks like he might be going back to damn Minnesota, which is weird. But, you get a caliber of Trey Turner in your lineup.
Yeah, he'll be 40 by the end of that contract.
Okay.
$300 million is an incredible amount of money. My obvious immediate reaction was,
where's that Dansby?
What does that mean for Dansby's market? For all the people that were thinking $200 million was ridiculous in the Dansby conversation. I don't think it is.
If it is
Trey just got 300.
If it's 200, what's the length of the deal?
Right. Yeah. Length, obviously, for sure. But
If I'm Dansby, I ain't taking less than 200.
No.
Yeah.
Not after Trey Turner just got 300.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm probably not going to get $300 million.
Okay, I take that. But I ain't taking one.
300 as I can get. Yeah. And look, if it's the.
What did Austin Riley get, Bo?
If it's the Anaheim Angels that want to give me 260, I'm going to Anaheim.
Was
10 for 212?
That's what
I think it was right around there for Austin Riley.
Yeah. So, the Braves don't have anyone, as far as I know, someone could check me on this, but I'm pretty sure. They don't have anybody that makes, over the life of their contract, annual money more than $23 million.
Okay, that's all I know. Okay, so what would $200 million.
So it'd have to be 9 years.
Eight years, that'd be 25.
8 years?
Eight, that's what I'm saying. Eight years.
He's not Trey Turner.
Like, I know he's not.
He's not.
But 25 would be reason. It's probably what he's going to get.
Okay. 25 per.
So, yeah. So 8
so
for 200.
He'd be the highest annually paid player on the Braves roster.
Okay.
Which
maybe he should be. I mean,
maybe he should be. Maybe he shouldn't be. Yeah.
So the highest paid player on the Braves team should be the dude that wears 13.
Yeah.
But
it isn't.
But it isn't.
It won't be for a few years.
Yeah.
There's other guys. Austin Riley is more valuable offensively.
I agree.
Than Dansby is.
I agree.
You know, so.
Yeah, I mean, what I say?
It is what it is.
You know, hometown kid, I'd come back and visit, man. Well, I'd come see mama.
He also already did it. I mean, he won a World Series.
Yeah, they got one of them new Google things where it looked like you are in the house with them already, too.
You got what?
One of them new Google things that you could, like.
You could have a hologram?
Like, it's in the house. Like, the thing that you walk around and you can, like, be with your people all day.
Like VR?
Would you ever do anything like that, Randy?
Hell no. No. I get weird because there's cameras in the house, so I got to watch what I do in the house when I'm by myself because she got cameras to look at me. Now, ain't no cameras lying in the basement because, you know, I don't want nothing. You can't be looking down there. But, yeah, that freaks me out.
So what is it? It's like a...
It's a Google thing they had. I see the commercial where the old man be crying because he see his grandbabies on the thing.
Let's let Gabby grab some guys.
All right.
Yeah, also Trey Turner, pretty good against the Braves.
Yeah. Welcome back to the division, I guess.
That rabbit.
All right, so Bo and I told you to pick up these two quarterbacks Sunday morning because there's six teams on bye this week. It's the last week of the regular season, so hopefully you were a little proactive because you might be screwed if you try to go pick these guys up now. Because the teams we have on bye, Falcons, Bears, Packers, Colts, Saints, and Commanders, which all have quite a number of fantasy football players, but Ryan Tannehill, only 18% owned in Yahoo leagues. He's got the Jags this week at home, should have a pretty good game. Jared Goff, a little bit more owned, 51% owned. He's got a nice matchup against the Vikings, so either of those are two good quarterback options. If you can't get either of those and you need to get somebody, Huntley for the Ravens as far as a backup play, not the worst option in the world. And if you really want to roll the dice.
Maybe where we are, isn't it?
Yeah, and if you really want to roll the dice and gamble, maybe roll out Brock Purdy.
I'm rolling out Brock Purdy.
See if he can get you two touchdowns.
I'm rolling out Brock Purdy,
dude. And we'll talk to Dave Archer more about that Iowa State kid tomorrow. Yeah. So.
I might go Purdy over Huntley.
I go Purdy over Huntley because, you know, Purdy's going to start. Purdy's going to start. Huntley's not going to start. Yes, I mean, Huntley's going to start. Did you see him play last week?
Huntley runs, though.
Yeah.
No, I got to start Purdy.
Fun argument, maybe, for the Facebook Live show.
Yeah, we'll get into it more at 3:30 today. Two other guys real quick. I never thought I'd say this name again this season, at least. Cam Akers had a really nice game against the Seahawks, 19 points. He's got a great matchup against the Raiders on Thursday if you need some running back help. And Hunter Henry, who's a... He either catches touchdowns or he doesn't. This is one of those weeks where he's going to. Only 35% owned. Cardinals can't guard the tight end to save their life. They give up the most points to fantasy tight ends, so go pick up Hunter Henry.
Caleb's mom, Caleb Williams, she worked at a nail salon, so he does it for her. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It's not issue with it.
It's not the painting of the nails. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about.
It's the random blank you to the team you're
playing. That's what we're talking about.
I don't understand. We'll come back and get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. College football corner at 12:20 as well. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.